بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 2017th of December in the year 2017 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the sixth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And I've reached the stage, the critical stage, during the battle of Uhud, in which the unbelievers now clearly have the upper hand. And our beloved messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has suffered injuries, one on his blessed face, one on his shoulder, and also some rocks had hit his blessed teeth, and he had fallen into a kind of a small ditch. And many of the companions had sacrificed their lives in defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, with the divine assistance and the superhuman efforts of the noble companions radiyallahu ta'ala, our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed somehow to retreat safely back upon the face of Mount Uhud. Just how this was managed can be gauged from the following most touching authentic report. So simply put, when the confusion arose that the Prophet had been killed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the unbelievers obviously naturally took the foot off the pedal because they sincerely believed they killed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there wasn't a termination of the battle, but the intensity lessened. Meanwhile, the Prophet was in the ditch, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of the noble companions knew he was in the ditch, and they got him out safely. And this is where the brilliance of the Prophet's tactical maneuver took place. He had positioned himself initially at the base of Mount Uhud. So now he had to retreat, go on to Mount Uhud, and then of course he would be safe, because no further action could be taken against him. But exactly how did this take place? In Nasa'i, in his Sunan 1-27, with a Sahih chain of transmission, Bayhaqi in his Dala'il Nubu'ah, Ibn Kathir Sirah, Volume 3, page 36 of the English translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 2, page 2-8-9 of the New English translation, Sayyidina Jabir, radiyallahu anhu, he relates, after being overwhelmed during the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims dispersed from around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the only people with him at the time were 11 men from the Ansar and Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. So stopping the report. So there's only 12 companions with him. One is one of the 10 promised paradise, Talha radiyallahu ta'ala, and the other 11 are from the noble Ansar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had begun climbing the mountain, i.e. was at its inclined base, when the unbelievers caught up with him. To stop the report, they realized it's him. He's still alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, they locked onto him again. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon asked, is there no one to repulse them? Talha radiyallahu, he responded, I am here, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay where you are, O Talha radiyallahu. Thus one of the 11 Ansar radiyallahu, he said, I will go, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Ansari radiyallahu fought in their defense, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the others thus kept ascending, i.e. the incline. The Ansari radiyallahu was eventually martyred, and the unbelievers were once again making ground on the Messenger of Allah. So this noble companion, one of the Ansar, he fought bravely to give time for the Prophet to go up the face, but he fell. Then they were now again making ground. The same thing then happened one by one with the remaining 10 Ansar. So imagine, there was now 10 Ansar with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Talha. And Talha kept asking, let me go forward, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, no. Then another one of the Ansar goes forward, fights bravely, gives time for the Prophet to ascend further sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He falls a martyr. And this is what happened to all 11 of the Ansar. So this shows that there was intense fighting taking place. Eventually, none but Talha radiallahu and the Messenger of Allah remained sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Talha radiallahu then advanced and fought as much as all the previous 11 companions combined. Subhanallah. So imagine, we don't know much details, but he fought that bravely. The narrator said, just like the 11 that came before him. During the clanging of swords and the whizzing of arrows, his fingers became severely injured, and he thereupon said, Has. This is an Arabic expression roughly equivalent to oh dear. So obviously they're trying to get Talha out of the way to get to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking he's the only man now left between us and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So something hit his hand and his fingers were cut. So he said something, and this is in Arabic, Has, meaning oh dear. The Messenger of Allah thereupon said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had you said Bismillah, then the angels, alayhi salatu wa salam, would have lifted you to the heavens in full view of the people and enter you into the skies, O Talha, radiallahu. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereupon climbed to the top of Uhud, where he joined the other companions who had also regrouped there. Subhanallah. So this is how he made the orderly retreat up the face of Mount Uhud. Note, they weren't even stopping as he was ascending. They were trying to get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after obviously a certain, you know, height, impossible. So Talha radiallahu anhu, that's why the Prophet was restraining him, because he was the most skilled fighter amongst the 12. And at the end, he did exactly what the other 11 had done. And he lost his fingers. And then the Prophet said those amazing words. Because if you said Bismillah, imagine what would have happened. They would have seen him raised to the heavens. That would have immediately, you know, stopped them in their tracks. So this shows the virtues of Bismillah. People don't realize how, you know, how great a dhikr this is. Our beloved Messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam Ahmad's Musnad, authentic hadith, that if any of you has an accident, trips or falls, and he says Bismillah, then the shaitan gets smaller than a fly. Meaning it hurts. But if you curse shaitan, then he goes as big as a house. Now why does he grow? Because his growth, because he thinks he's got power. You've attributed power to him, which is absolutely incorrect. So therefore, the sunnah is, when you have little mishaps, is to simply say Bismillah. Now compare that little mishap to Talha. So don't think it's something hard. If Talha was told to say it, then obviously we should do it when we have these little problems. In another report, adding details, in Sahih Muslim, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 35 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 228 of the New English translation, Sayyidina Anas relates a slightly different report, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the critical time, whoever will repel them from us will be my companion in paradise. The report is then the same as the previous one, but the Messenger of Allah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not been fair to our friends and comrades, i.e. by leaving them to fight single-handedly. So this adds two details. So this is in Sahih Muslim. The first detail is, everyone that gave their life there, they're with the Prophet in paradise. Meaning they've got the highest ranks in paradise. The second thing the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Talha, because we weren't fair to our 11 comrades. Meaning, they should have gone maybe in twos or threes. Right? So the Prophet did say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing that, you know, he was missing them already. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Talha radiallahu anhu, now reached a huge protruding mountain face that they needed to ascend. The way to picture this is, you had to climb over it. You couldn't just walk. You understand? So he had to either literally pull himself up with his arms to get over this face. So what happened? In Tirmidhi, Hassan Sahih Ghareeb. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 1417. Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-25, Sahih. Bayhaqi in his Sunan, 2-370. Ibn Hibban, Sahih. Ibn Ishaq, Hassan. Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, 3-126, Mishkat and Uds. Sayyidina Zubair, radiallahu anhu, he relates. At the Battle of Uhud, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing two coats of mail. He had two armors on. He got up to the rock for safety, but was unable to ascend. He couldn't get over due to the various wounds he had received and the weight of his armor. Thus Talha radiallahu anhu, despite his now own precarious condition, let him step upon his bike. And thus he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to settle himself on the surface of the rock. I thereupon heard the Messenger of Allah later saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aujaba Talha. Talha has now made it obligatory. I paradise. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith in Tirmidhi, and Imam Ahmad was a Muslim. So now look at all these details. You can see a complete picture of what's happening. So Zubair is witnessing this now. So when Zubair sees this, he noticed the Prophet can't climb. So that shows how severely struck he was. He was losing blood. And the armor was holding him back as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another way to look at this was maybe Allah Ta'ala took away some of his phenomenal strength to allow Talha the honor. There's so many different ways you can look at the scenario. Whatever the case, Talha radiallahu anhu, imagine the condition he's in himself. You know, he's almost dead himself. And he puts his bike down, he goes, step on me, Ya Rasulullah, and get onto the surface. And when the Prophet goes over his back onto the surface, he goes, Aujaba Talha. Talha has made it obligatory, meaning he's in Jannat already. With regards to how many injuries he suffered, Talha, we have the following report. In Abu Dawud At-Tayalisi, Tabarani in his Awsat, Bazar, Ibn Hibban, Darukutni in his Afrat, Ibn Asakir, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 298. Abu Nu'aym in his Ma'rifah, Qanzul Umal, volume 5, page 274. Fath al-Bari, 7-82. Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 29. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 475-6 of the New English Translation. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he clarified, radiallahu anhu, after tending to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we thereupon went to Talha, who now lay in a ditch, radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, he had suffered from around 70 wounds inflicted by spears, arrows and swords. His fingers had been sliced off. We nursed him thereafter. Subhanallah. So look at how Abu Bakr described, because he's in a ditch. We thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He goes, he didn't count every wound. He goes, around 70 wounds. And the wounds were by spears, arrows and swords. Now why is that significant? Because spears is from a distance. Arrows is even from a further distance. And swords close range. So they were basically locked onto him. They were all trying to kill him. And each and every one managed to get some strike on him. And he'd lost his fingers. And he goes, we thereupon nursed him. So this is the relevant part with regards to Talha. But the full narration actually adds something. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said that we were missing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes, we noticed that he was in the direction of Uhud. And he goes, I rushed towards him to get to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes, then I noticed another man rushing. And then he goes, as I saw closely who it was Abu Ubaidah. And he goes, we both got to the Prophet as he was safely on the rock surface. So look how interesting, this is after the Prophet's climbed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu, tend to your companion. And then they look at Talha, they see what's happened to him. And the hadith says they ignored the command. Imagine, they ignored the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, this is normally unbelief, to disobey a direct command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here it's praiseworthy, because out of love, because they were thinking the Prophet comes first, he was injured. So they basically bypassed the command of the Prophet. And then Abu Bakr goes, I noticed there was chinks in his blessed face from the helmet. And he goes, I was just about to take the chinks of the helmet out when Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he goes, I put you on oath, allow me to do it. I put you on oath, allow me to do it. So Abu Bakr steps back. Then Abu Ubaidah, he goes, he gets the helmet, but then he realizes that what he's pulling it is hurting the Prophet. So what he does, he realizes that he has to steady the blessed head, and use his teeth. So all the pressure is not on the blessed face of the Prophet, it was on his teeth. So he steadied his blessed head and he used his teeth. And he angled his teeth like this. And as he was pulling the chink out, it came, but one of his tooth came flying out. Abu Ubaid, that's how much force he used. So Abu Bakr goes, I saw this. He goes, now let me do the other. He goes, I put you on oath, let me do the other side. So Abu Bakr steps back, and then Abu Ubaid does a second, the other side. And his other tooth comes out. So he loses his two front teeth. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I've never seen a more handsome person without his two front teeth other than Abu Ubaid. He goes, he was given even more beauty. Then, after we realized the Prophet was now settled, we then went to see Talha, and that's the relevant part of the report I just mentioned. He goes, we saw him, and he goes, he looked like he was dead. Right? So, these are the full reports. It is further related that due to the loss of his fingers, the hand of Sayyidina Talha became paralyzed. In Sahih Bukhari 7-359, Sayyidina Qais ibn Abu Hazim radiallahu anhu said, I saw the hand of Talha radiallahu anhu paralyzed whilst protecting the Messenger of Allah on the day of Uhud. So there's the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. He doesn't give you any other details. He goes, his hand was paralyzed defending the Prophet. So note, some sahaba go into detail, giving you the full picture. Others just give you that, quick summary. But his hand was certainly paralyzed. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon seeing his noble companion in such a devastating state, he uttered his famous words. Man sarrahu an yanzura ila shaheedin yamshi ala wajhil ardi fal yanzur ila Talha. If anyone finds pleasure in looking at a martyr walking on the face of the earth, let him now look at Talha. Radiallahu. This is in Tirmidhi, number 3760, Ibn Majah, number 125, Mishkat and others. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states in As-Sahiha 2-32, Isfahani has preserved it through a reliable chain, so judge for its supporting evidences. So it's an authentic report due to the various chains. So what did our beloved Messenger say? If anyone finds pleasure looking at a martyr and he's still on the earth, still walking, look at Fal Yanzur ila Talha, meaning he's already martyred. He's a living martyr. Because what else do you want from a human being? Because he's given his all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Abu Bakr summed up Uhud. And he said in one simple statement, radiyallahu, every credit for that day goes to Talha. Subhanallah. Every credit for the day of Uhud goes to Talha, radiyallahu. And this is like I mentioned, is in Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, Tabarani, in his Awsat Bazar, Ibn Hibban, Darakutni, in his Afrat, Hayat al-Sahab, volume 1, page 475-6 of the New English Translation. So the Prophet now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is safely on the face of Uhud. The companions have gathered there. And of course, with the Sahaba, some have been martyred, some are seriously injured. As these momentous events were taking place, of the believers who had taken shelter on Mount Uhud, some were moving about aimlessly, not knowing where to go, what to do. Like I mentioned, some went up to the mount face, and they didn't know what to do, because the Prophet has passed away, what are we to do? Amongst them was Ka'ab ibn Malik, radiallahu, who upon seeing our beloved Messenger, his joy knew no bounds. It is related, in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 200, he thereupon climbed onto a large boulder and facing the direction where he knew most of the Muslims had taken shelter, he cried out, rejoice, O Muslims, for the Messenger of Allah is here. Rejoice, O Muslims, for the Messenger of Allah is here. So Ka'ab ibn Malik, because he knew that some thought he had passed away, like he thought. But when he recognized, he made a huge announcement, because he's still alive. He's with us. Hazrat Ka'ab himself later said, radiyallahu, I saw his eyes gleaming from beneath his helmet. I saw his eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gleaming from beneath his helmet. This is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 3, page 48 of the English translation. So, note, each sahaba is giving his own personal account of what's taking place at Uhud. But the scholars, alhamdulillah, they've gathered all these reports to give you a more pregnant picture. Many of the believers thereupon joined the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose delight upon seeing him knew no bounds. Meanwhile, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu was searching for our beloved messenger's body, because he thought he's dead. So he's looking, as where is he? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to no avail. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu thereupon approached. Put your feet up, brothers. Basic adab. Sit in the circle. Don't sit on against the wall. Come here. Sit here. Fill the gap. Come here. Sit here. Sit in a circle and concentrate your adab. Look what I'm describing. I'm not talking about, you know, football. Astaghfirullah. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, and stop drinking. That really bothers me, honestly. Put all this away. No drinking, no eating, no drinking. Sit in a circle. Sit here, Ibs. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was searching for our beloved messenger's body, but to no avail. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon approached and informed him that he had seen him making a retreat to Mount Uhud. So Khalid recognized what had happened. He goes, I've seen him. And he goes, he was retreating back onto the face of Mount Uhud. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was furious. He thereupon immediately ordered Khalid to take his cavalry. He goes, attack that position. Finish Muhammad off. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu had misgivings. Move that chair. Ali, sit there. Fill that gap up. Gotta state the obvious to you. You know, you have children, astaghfirullah. Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon approached. Fill the gap up there, in that gap there. Don't sit against the wall. Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon approached and informed him that he had seen him making a retreat to Mount Uhud. Abu Sufyan was furious. He immediately ordered Khalid to take his cavalry and attack that position. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu had misgivings about the maneuver, for he knew full well that in this sort of position, his cavalry would be at a serious disadvantage. But nevertheless, he had to listen to the Amir. He spurred his squadron in that direction. So simply what was happening? So Khalid bin Walid, he doesn't want to go to the face of Mount Uhud, because it's not advisable, because they've got the advantage. The cavalry is useless. But Abu Sufyan is so angry, he goes, go and finish Muhammad off, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So reluctantly, he's going. So he goes with the 100 strong horses. What happened? In Ibn Hisham, in his Seerah, page 567, Tabari, in his Tarikh, page 1411, it is related. Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, with a body of troops, advanced in the direction of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was now upon the elevated face of Mount Uhud. Seeing Khalid coming, the Holy Prophet made a dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let not those people reach here. So he made a special dua to stop him, O my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon immediately with a few other muhajireen and ansar darted forward and turned back the advancing men. So what happened? The Prophet sees Khalid and he makes a dua. He goes, stop him, O my Lord. Immediately Umar radiallahu anhu with a few of the sahaba rushed down and they managed to turn back Khalid bin Walid. Why? Because they're at a loss. The cavalry is useless. And Umar starts pushing them back, radiallahu anhu. And in a slightly different wording, our beloved messenger supplicated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 49 of the English translation, O Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not fitting for them to be above us. O Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not fitting for them to be above us. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu thereupon darted forward along with a group of muhajirun, engaged them until they forced the enemy back down the mountain. So the Prophet ﷺ clearly said, they do not allow them to go over this, O my Lord. Meaning, this will continue the fighting. So Umar radiallahu anhu, with the blessed dua of the Prophet ﷺ and other sahab, managed to force them down. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, upon now observing the steel-like determination in his noble cousins and other believers' eyes, in engaging with them from an elevated position, realized the situation was hopeless. Thus, he gave the signal to disengage. And this indeed was the last tactical maneuver in the Battle of Uhud. So Khalid weighed up the whole scenario. He goes, is there any other possibility of getting to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was impossible. So when he disengaged, there was no more fighting. That was the last military maneuver in the Battle of Uhud. Khalid disengaged and the Prophet was now safe sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with some of the noble companions on the face of Mount Uhud. So simply put, to wrap up, subhanallah, during this famous encounter, a glaring factor with regards to Khalid stuck out. Namely, when the bulk of an army flees, its counterparts do not remain. Thus in this we see the unusual courage of both Khalid ibn Walid and Ikrimah radiallahu anhuma in keeping their squadrons under control on the battlefield, although reason could suggest no possible advantage in doing this. So think about this. The cavalry should have left when the battle was initially lost. So the ulama say, look at the unusual courage of Khalid ibn Walid. They were still waiting, thinking there's a possibility of turning the defeat into a victory. And his patience bore fruit. So this shows that they were showing extreme courage, him and Ikrimah radiallahu anhuma. We thus see the patience of Khalid and his refusal to accept defeat, and his brilliant maneuver which turned the near complete victory of the believers into their near complete defeat. In addition, a measure of Khalid's genius can also be gauged from the fact he is the only person whom the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala allowed to inflict a temporary defeat on his most beloved and dear messenger. So this is an honor for Sayyidina Khalid. Allah Ta'ala gave him that honor. Why? Because he was going to be used for the future conquests of Islam. But he never ever brought that up. It was the will of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But looking at the details we've got, it was due to his brilliance that he turned this defeat into a victory. Because if the cavalry had left, nothing would have happened. It would have been an outstanding victory for the Muslims. But because of the patience of Khalid and Ikrimah, they turned this near defeat into a victory for the unbelievers. But of course, he wasn't proud of that. You know, you don't be proud of defeating the Muslims. At the time, he wasn't a Muslim. Some other ulama look into other factors. There goes Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had married his aunt, Maymuna radiallahu anhu, and that was recent. So they start saying that Khalid wasn't really fighting full out because he was thinking, I don't want to leave my aunt a widow. But these are just additional things that scholars have mentioned. The reality was, they were on the battlefield and he was created to kill on the battlefield. But it was Allah Ta'ala's help, unseen help, and the extraordinary courage of the companions which saved the day. But the victory was for the unbelievers. The only thing they didn't achieve was to take the life of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With their retreat, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and the other companions radiallahu anhu all returned back to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tend to his wounds. It is thereupon related that Abu Sufyan then strode to the base of the mountain. So now we should, the fighting is terminated, the Muslims are safe. But still they're thinking, maybe we've killed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he's in armor. Some were saying, no, this is just a ploy of the Muslims. They're just trying to, but we've got him. So Abu Sufyan had no choice but to go to the base of the mountain and then to verify what's taking place. And at that point, we'll stop and we'll continue tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically now the critical moment in our beloved messenger's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where they were still targeting him. And this is after all the serious injuries he had received. So note, there was many phases in the Battle of Uhud, and they were all focused upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of course, Allah Ta'ala was protecting him because the mission had not been complete. But nevertheless, all the marks and that the companions received together with our beloved messenger was an honor for them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, two drops and marks are beloved to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the two marks are the prostration marks of worship and the marks of jihad. So all of that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was reasons why he was receiving these marks, the badges of honor Allah Ta'ala gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, Talha was covered with all these marks by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is truly amazing, he was also ultimately martyred. So Talha, even though you'd think he'd be martyred now, later he was eventually martyred as well. Even that was not deprived from this noble man radiallahu. And also the other thing which is important to point out, though Abu Bakr said radiallahu, the whole day belongs to Talha, What he meant by that obviously was because of the critical moment he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't diminishing the sacrifices of the Uhud martyrs. Somebody could say, well, what about Hamza? What about Muslim? You know, he's still alive. The others gave their lives. He's saying at that point he was the only one with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he appreciated this, and he goes, the whole day belongs to Sayyidina Talha. And rightly so, he's one of the 10 promised paradise. Are there any questions? Let's ask.
Abu Ubaida, when he was before he would take that Prophet's helmet, he would say, he said that he was saying something about an oath.
Yes.
What is the oath exactly?
But it was basically Abu Bakr wanted to take the chinks out of the Holy Prophet's cheeks, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Ubaida goes, radiallahu anhu, he knew that Abu Bakr won't allow that him to do it. So he made swear an oath. He goes, I swear in the name of Allah, you let me do this. So Abu Bakr, obviously, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet goes, you should fulfill. That's why he stepped back. And note the pressure, you know, to hold the Prophet's blessed head and then to lose your teeth. It shows that they wanted to give their lives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not forgetting Abu Ubaida was also injured in the encounter. So don't get the impression that Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaida's flesh, they've both been injured. The tide had turned against the believers. So when they were with the Prophet, they were oblivious to their own wounds. And note the twitching incident when he goes, see to your companion. And they ignored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because it was the command. This was a praiseworthy deed, which the scholars mention. Another example of that, which I can mention, is in Sahih Bukhari. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading the prayer. Sorry, Abu Bakr Siddiq was leading the prayer. And then the Prophet comes sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's ill. When he enters, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the people try to get his attention. And eventually he looks to he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he starts walking back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then signals to him like this. Another stay, he don't walk back. Keep praying as the imam. And Abu Bakr keeps walking back and he's raised his hands to the heavens. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then leads the prayer, completes the prayer, he turns around. He goes, oh Abu Bakr, why did you not stay in your place? I told you to stay in your place. Why did you keep walking back? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said in Bukhari and Muslim, how dare the son of Abi Qahafa lead the prayer in the presence of the Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet didn't ask after that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the love Abu Bakr had. He wasn't disobeying the Prophet when he told him, because I can't lead you in prayer, Ya Rasulullah. So that's love. So there's another example of an apparent disobedience to the Prophet, but it's out of love. Another example of this in Sahih Bukhari, Treaty of Hudaybiyah. When they were signing the treaty, Sayyidina Ali was writing Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the negotiator on the part of the unbelieving Quraysh, Suhail ibn Amr radiyallahu, he goes, what's this Rasulullah? If I believe you were Rasulullah, I wouldn't have stopped you from doing the Umrah. He goes, write that off. Write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he goes, no, I'm not going to do it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take out Rasulullah. And Ali goes, never, I'm never going to do it. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the writing material and he puts a line through Rasulullah. Question, Ali's become kafir. The Prophet told him to do something. He said, no, it's out of love. He says, I can't do it. I can't write, take out your name, Ya Rasulullah. So note, in the Ba'al of Uhud, the same thing happened. The Prophet gave a direct order. Look at your companion, and they bypassed that. But it's not a blemish. It's an honor for these noble souls, out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, it was something, you know, we'd expect from them as well. But at the same time, if Talha was virtually dead, so you would expect, surely, okay, let's just have a quick look. No, it shows the Prophet came first and foremost. Even if Talha had died, radiallahu anhu. Then finally when they came, and look at the state he was in, you know, Allahu Akbar, very hard to describe. He was still alive. How can a person be still alive after all those wounds? Fingers being sliced off, sword, spears, all the wounds, blood loss, unconscious. But all of that showing his incredible state, salat Allah. This also shows death comes at the decreed time. Death cannot come except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, Sayyidina Hamza, the spear martyr, radiyallahu of wahsi, radiyallahu. So again, all these amazing things were taking place on the battlefield of Uhud. But we should be aware of this. And not Khalid bin Walid was the most instrumental in this disaster. But at the same time, you can appreciate his military genius. But like I've mentioned, he was never proud of this. Any other questions, comments? سبحان الله بحمده سبحان اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر اللهم صل